Welcome to Mystics and Broomsticks Podcast with Melanie Dawn and Tanya Ryan.
Welcome back on another episode where you don't have to listen to just me. So great. I'm so glad when we can get our schedules coordinated. I think that talking to you, like, it fills my cup. Like, I think I love that we have this podcast because who knows how long you and I would go without talking. Cause like, right? I don't know if you're like this with friendships, but I have a lot of really, really great friendships, but I don't necessarily touch base with them like all the time. Yes. I actually, a really good example. Yeah. Right. It's a thing. I love this, that my friend Heather, I love her so, so much. And the last time I saw her, her baby was like an infant, a newborn, a little wee thing. And her baby just turned one. And I was like, I haven't seen you since then. And I'm like, shit, our kids are going to keep us honest here because I feel like I see you more because of how I feel about her. Like, I love her so much. And so I feel like you and I would be like that. Like, we'd probably touch base once a year, love each other hard. And then, you know, so I like that we get to talk to each other consistently. That makes me happy.
I am that friend. So I'm so glad that we have the podcast too. And I think it's funny when like before, when we wouldn't podcast for a long time, we'd be like, oh, people are going to think we're fighting or whatever. Now they must just know that we are very, very flaky.
It's like, sorry, we're just unorganized people. That's it.
Yes. And it's not one, it's two.
Yeah, right. It's because I used to be able to hold the fort down. Yes. And now I'm holding the fort down for other little people. Yeah. And I can no longer hold all the forts. So
our fort is flapping in the wind.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm good with it. It's got a little movement, a little je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
Got its own vibe. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm really at such a weird place right now that days are, well, apparently the whole world or universe is feeling the speed of time right now. Mm-hmm. I am in warp speed and my brain is still in 1990s. So I can't believe it's March already. Like, that's.
Yeah. My son got mad. He's like, why is it snowing again? Like, he's over it. He's over winter. Okay, but I'm like, and I'm sitting over here going, well, it's going to be gone soon. And then that kind of like drilled me in the back of the head, like, holy smokes, like, it's going to be gone soon. The winter's already gone. I don't know. It didn't feel long to me. It felt like it just breezed by. And then my other little boy, he's like going to be 2 in April. And I was like, but you're my baby. Like, you're the squishy little round sphere of a human. Like, what happened to you? And he's all long. And I'm like, what?
Ooh, I know. Yeah. My baby is graduating this year, turning 18 in August.
Oh my God.
He was my squishy one.
Yeah. That's wild, though.
It is wild. It is.
I'm excited because I want to ask you about Reiki. Because so for those of you who don't know this, I don't know how, no, we didn't meet through Reiki. We met through yoga, but I had Reiki. I went in for Reiki a couple times and we know that Tanya has the history of being the cynic, the like pragmatic, and I went to 2 different Reiki sessions and I just remember being like, I don't get it. Like, I was just laying on a table and the person like stood over me and either their hands touched me or they didn't, but it was just like, what, like, what's going on? This is silly. And so it surprises me that I went to you for Reiki in the first place, but I think it was because I think someone vouched for you. They're like, oh, have you had a Reiki by Melanie? It's so cool. And I was like, is it though? Well, whatever. Sure. I'll try it. And I remember going to you for Reiki and that was one of my brain breaking experiences. I remember being like, what, that was so different than whatever, you know, that was before, or that was before. Seeing you felt like something. What blows my mind the most seeing you is how you, I don't know, with me, I don't know if you do this over, you usually touch my like shins first. Mm-hmm. And it's wild to me. You'll like run your hands down from my knees to my feet. And it's so weird to me how good that feels when you do that. And you're hardly touching me. You're not like massaging. You're not like, you're just kind of like glazing your hands over my legs. But when I tell you that that feels like heaven, I don't know how to explain it. And then I think the fact that you kind of also like talk through what the body or my energy or whatever it is, like you talk me through what you're noticing, and just that combination of whatever is physically happening, and it is something because it's wild. Again, like you just like wherever Melanie's hands touch you, it just, it feels like when your mom would cuddle you when you were little. Like it's just this like, oh, this is so nice. You don't even have to do anything. It's just so nice to be here. And then combined with like what you say that has such impact. Anyways, I just remember being like, that's cool. Not Reiki, but Melanie's Reiki is so cool. And I was like, well, if I ever learn Reiki, I want to learn from you, because all that other stuff I did was nothingness comparatively. Mm-hmm. And so how did you find Reiki?
So I learned traditionally. What you experienced before would have been more of a traditional Reiki treatment where they probably had their hands and they were like, oh, geez, there's my dog. they do hand placements for a specific amount of time, and then it's a set treatment plan. But I had actually very minimal experience with Reiki when I decided to take Reiki, same as everything in my life except for yoga. I had done that before I took my teacher training. But the gal that taught me, her name was Daniela Hills, and her family was so weird that it gave me, and she did it in her home, that it kind of like, I guess maybe gave me the wrong idea. So thanks for that, because it turned out to be the right idea. And I quickly decided I didn't want to do traditional treatments. The whole time I was just so bored. And I find being conscious of time and where your hands are, it's hard to go into being a channel and just purely serving as a channel, which may seem like a brain break for people who are like, but when you talk, how is that not? When I talk, I some of the stuff comes through and my ego is vetting it in the back going, you're gonna say what? Like, some awkwardness and discomfort, especially around the beginning. But the moment I decided to take off the sensor, the sensor of what I was saying, is when I felt like my clients gained so much, and their connection to their session was so much deeper. And there were some things that I, of course, did not want to say. And like the ego was like, ooh, don't do that. And so for the first probably years, I would say 3 to 5 years, which is a long time. Sometimes it takes me a long time to learn. I was still kind of holding back and not allowing the, like, some of the stuff that comes through is pretty out there. Right. And I, like, specifically, I can remember, well, this one client had messaged me after, this is years ago, there's certain things, and this is going to maybe mean nothing to anyone, but probably 2016, 17, somewhere in there, I had a client and a black dog kept coming up, and I was like, I don't know what this is, but there's a black dog that's here with you. And so then later she messaged me and she said, you don't know like how impactful that was to me. I can't remember the full details, but it was a safe word between her and her husband. And it was like, you're safe to be here, right? And the black dog was making it very, like, sometimes I'm like, I'll ask, do they really need to know this? And it'll keep showing itself, yes. Because it is kind of weird just to be like, and a black dog, no further details. So I will constantly check in, say any further, any more on this. And even when there's not, if I say it, they know the connection. And so my sessions are very collaborative. You know this, like we work together. You're very open with me. You're not trying to trick me in any way or holding anything back. I love a person who trusts me. So mm-hmm. it's like, if anyone were to come and be like, well, I'm not going to tell them this because then they'll know that and all that stuff. Not interested in working with people like that at all. Cause it's for them, not me. Like you can do that. That's of course okay, but it your session's not going to be, and I don't have people like that, but I've had one like that. And, when we collaborate together, I just get so much more information, and you can literally feel like when you say like I'm running the shins, that's like the foundation of who you are. Just mm-hmm. making sure that we're connected, all that stuff. It changes from time to time too, but if you're telling me stuff at the same time I'm giving you unbiased, because I am like to do my own energy work, I'm messed up. Yeah. I will not do it. But I'm an unbiased channel for you. Use it or don't, you know, give me information or don't, but your session is going to directly impact that in that way.
Right.
I want to just share one more example. I want to be able to give you an opportunity to ask me questions, but there's just something so profound just happened that really you look back on it and you're like, that was in my body. I had a client that, I can't remember what kept coming up. And I said, what is this? Where is this taking you? I knew that she was getting access to a memory that I didn't have access to. I couldn't see it, where lots of times I do. And, so let's say something is very traumatic for someone and their body's not ready to let it go, and their mental emotional process isn't there yet either. I will see that, but I'll also be told that it's just like to be aware of in the session, but not to share. So there will be things that come that I know not to share, that it's, I'm not deciding. It's just, it's a knowing for me. This is not for them right now. Right. But this is what you're working on. But at this time I knew that she knew and I didn't know. So I asked her, I said, what imagery are you coming up with right now? There's some experience you're having, a past memory. And she said, I remember when I was young, I got an earache, and I'm at my family's living room, and the TV's on behind me. And you know how like the 80s houses, everything is separate, all the separate rooms, not like now, but the TV's on behind her because she couldn't lay on the side to watch TV because her ear was in such pain. It had to be up and away. And her mom was in the other room cooking. And that must have caused like to associate somewhere in the body that pain means I'll be left alone. And by no trauma that her family intended to give her or anything, the body stored that memory. Mm. And we were able to release that day. It was really, and I was like, there ain't no way I could have ever come up with that. I would have been like, you know, you want to go for the big ones, big traumas, but these subtle little traumas exist in our body and they're tying up our meridians, our energy frequency, causing blocks, causing belief systems to form. And we have no consciousness of them whatsoever. So that's where I love this, particular practice. Even if I do it differently, I honor the traditional teachings. I think I honor it like to its purest source. It was channeled to him. So I'm allowing that channel to still work through me, in my defense.
And then so you went and got your training, and then did you just jump right into practicing right away?
Yeah, I did, and then I jumped right back out. So I think I did like, gosh, I can't remember. It didn't fulfill me the way I wanted it to. I felt a bit like a fraud. So I maybe did like 5, and these were free because I was in a money wound. I probably did like 5 free sessions, and then I set my rate at 50. Which I held despite changing it for existing clients. And I was definitely in my money wound even then. Like it sounds like I've been here a long time, but the money difference hasn't really changed that much. I was like cutting my value by half. And then I really only got back into doing it and feeling confident when I added yoga teaching too, because it just gave me, like you said in our last podcast, that you were looking for a like certification, like to become a mm-hmm. professional. So was I. Mm-hmm. And when I understood through the Eastern philosophy yoga, then I could kind of put the two and two together. It made it seem more valid to me in some way, and I felt more confident. It completely changed the way I practiced.
And do you feel like the resurgence, if you will, like, was that when the kind of Melanie style was like, when you first started, were you doing kind of just like the positions and the by the book? And then when you came back to it,
I was doing awkward sharing at the beginning, like where I felt like I had to produce something.
Right.
And then when I just before every session, when I decided I wasn't going to do that, I just said, I trust that whatever comes is exactly what they need, and I'm not forcing anything. Mm-hmm. And that was like when everything changed. Because mm-hmm. I kept trying to be like, you know, I said just now, I don't want to be like you're Geppetto and I'm a puppet on the string. I was essentially doing that to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you came back to it. How long between, like, when you took your like little hiatus, how long was that?
Well, I would say it was probably 3 or 4 years. And then, and I might be lying. Like, I don't know. I don't track time too well. And even memories are not, like, when you feel a lot of feelings, things can become very, you can question your reality often. So I would, like, I think 3 years, I got it in, I believe, 2011. And then I think I took about 3 or 4 years and I started doing it as like paying work in, I believe, around 2016, 17, somewhere in there.
And then when you started kind of like bringing Melanie into it, did you notice it kind of like took off or like
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
I had like, well, I still say this. I think I had 3 clients. I know them by name. I won't name them on here, but I had 3 clients, all women, that I would say 75% of my client base, if not more, is from those 3 ladies because they have such large social circles and it was such an impact for them. They talked about it for years. Like I still get referrals from them. It's why you just, and that's where we had just talked about like, oh, you get tired of marketing, all this stuff. And you just really need to open up to the possibility that it can be easy. And for me, it was in that way. And their social circles kind of all intermix in a way, as they all knew each other too. And they were just such great people and great clients. And I just couldn't have asked for more serendipitous thing to happen to me.
And then I promise this isn't like a shameless self-plug, but how did you get into teaching?
Yeah. So I had never even thought to teach. I did it like, if you were very dogmatic about rules and the way things should be done, I did it wrong. I got my Reiki level 1, Reiki level 2, and masters all pretty much back to back. I better check the dates, but it felt very quickly to me and like within under a year for sure. And I am that teacher. I let my students do that too. And I know a lot of teachers probably have some stuff to say about that. And then I would question their relationship with energy and timelessness.
Yeah.
Spaciousness, right? Because it's kind of contradictory. It's a very ironic thing to say you have to put in this much time when it's like, okay, well, time doesn't exist in a lot of energy. But
That time pattern, sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. I feel like that timing thing would be so different from person to person. Like,
yes. Yeah.
It's
and we all know. And this is saying like, I know better than you. This is the set time. We all know and are called to it at different stages of the game. Like I have, once a year, I bundled up my programs and put together like a master's. It was called There and Back. So you start out as a student and as a teacher. And I have some people who have prolonged that. They don't feel ready for the master's. This is years and they're breaking the rules, but I'm letting them break the rules. So they're supposed to complete it. And I believe it was within that year or the next. And I have one trickling into the next year. And I'll get after her a bit just because I do believe she is ready. But that's the thing is we'll all follow our own internal compass should we be allowed to. And that's what I want to do for my students is to allow them to trust it to flow. Because had I not have done those all back to back, I wouldn't have ended up with my master's. I wouldn't have gone back.
Yeah.
Mostly because at that time, it wasn't as impactful as it was to me now looking back from an eagle eye view. So right. We can't see the value of things when we're in them. It's only once we come out and then we see, oh, this is how it changed the trajectory of my whole life. And this is how it's influenced everything. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't have done it. And so her allowing me to do that then opened the door for you to come into my life and say, hey, like, when are you going to start offering trainings? And that's just like, never had thought of it. Definitely didn't feel equipped to do it or skilled enough, but you gave me so much confidence that I was the only one you wanted to learn from. And then I was like, well, I better put together a program for her. And it really started off. It's the only thing that I have running this year is like my online Reiki training programs. And it will continue to be one of the continual offerings from me, because do I think everyone's going to leave this going and starting their own practice? No, I don't. But do I think it's going to lead them into further excavation of who they are and are remembering? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if we use Reiki as this channel and force to then catapult our next evolution, I'm here for it. I don't think everyone has to be a Reiki practitioner. A lot of what I teach inside and how I teach, like even in workshops and things like that, is to not look for the direct meaning, but to look for the symbolic meaning. Like, what is the symbolism that is surrounding this? Because that's the teaching. If you look across the board, religious teachings, energy teachings, Eastern philosophy, it's all under archetypal or symbolic sight. Mm-hmm. Like religion is literally symbolism interpreted by different religions. Mm-hmm. So like if we could start to unlock our vision from seeing what our past experience has told us is happening in front of us and start going into the general overall feeling. And that's how I work. A lot of it comes through as symbolism, but then I have a memory of like, if the symbolism that's coming through is this person is unable to let go of the sudden death of a parent, I'll feel that. I know that that's associated to that, but there's a symbolism overarching through their life that they are afraid of sudden loss. So they live their life hanging on to every little ounce of control, virtually not breathing. And then I look at their breath and, oh, good. Look at them. They're breathing just partway up to their chest. Yeah. Like you can see how the symbolism of the belief is then impacting the physiological responses in the body. Pretty wild.
When you started teaching Reiki, what shifted about the way that you practice Reiki?
Well, I think, I think I've evolved quite a few times, but I think that the level of confidence that I had, like that you then inspired me to have to look at and to say, okay, maybe you are good at this. I would say the thing that changed would be the level of confidence and to trust, exactly what comes through as it comes through. Just like not even just in the trainings, but in life, like you saved my life, Tanya.
Well, I'm really glad this podcast is just coming back as gratuitous moments for me.
But yeah, I would just say that, like, I think everything was there, but the confidence and seeing my value in teaching. I just hadn't, I thought, oh yeah, I'm good at doing readings, but I'd never seen myself as a teacher. And then we just finished a spring equinox where opened the body and called in an opportunity for prayer, which is something I use regularly. I didn't guide it. There was nothing. There was music in the background. We put them in heart bed, which is a gentle or not gentle heart opener. And I just asked them to pray for the answer to their power. What is that, like, you know, what's coming through for them right now. And, prayer is the one thing that I've used that is like completely evolved over the course of time. And the word that came through for me, because I often will do priestess path myself in like my own energy. They're already there. Like, they do it twice. And so the word that came through, they don't do it twice. That's in quotes. Their energy is there twice. They're physically there once. But lots of times I'll run it through myself energetically. And the word that came through for me in my prayer was teaching. Mm. And I'm shocked, but not.
Mm-hmm.
And I never would have considered myself a teacher before, even though I was teaching yoga. Mm-hmm. I still felt like I was wearing a mask of other people. Mm-hmm. And then this confidence to really, whether people like it or not, someone is going to like it. Someone is going to want this. And to deny that is to deny your fellow sister, brother of that experience.
I think so as if someone has known you, like, how long ago was that? That's a while ago now. Because time is weird.
Yeah, it is.
It's to me, it's if someone just started, you know, knowing you in the last few years, I feel like they would not like almost not recognize the you prior to teaching Reiki.
Yeah.
Because like to me, and what's been so cool to see, like, as your friend is just like, I feel like you are a teacher, like absolutely 1,020,000,000,000%. Like, that's like you are like really, to me, you're really like living into the you that you are. Like, you're really embracing and embodying like the you-ness of you, sort of a thing. And especially in, I think you really express that well through your offerings, your teachings, your brand, your business, like all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it would just
and
like
now to undo it.
I think you're still like living into like, you know, yep. Okay, hey, this is now closed.
Different way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's in a transformative state. So honestly, still good for you for shutting it down to know, hey, I need to go through this metamorphosis and I need to like close these doors so that I can cocoon and I can, you know, emerge from this and go like, what does this look like now? So to me, you're still like, it's still embodying that, but your brand, your business brand is so strong. And it just, I think that if I didn't know you, I'd be like, what? You went through a period where you kind of didn't know, or you were kind of unsure, or, you know, it. So I love this story because I think that it's easy to see you now and perceive you as having all of this, thinking that's like, well, she's just confident, so it must be easier for her. But like, really, you've had to like get here, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And but man, have you ever, like, you've just really done such an amazing job. And then I want to like toot your horn as like a teacher, a student sort of relationship kind of thing. So when I got my Reiki from you and I was like, whoa, this is cool. I remember thinking like, I would do this, because I had people, because I was doing Thai yoga massage at that time, some people would be like, oh, you'd be really good at Reiki. And I was like, Reiki shmeiki, like, that's stupid. And then I had Melanie Reiki and I was like, well, that's cool. I would want to do that. I would do that Reiki. That's special. That's not Reiki. That's like, I don't know. It was just different. And yeah. I thought you were such a great teacher. Like, it felt like this environment where you were really welcoming in how Reiki was presented itself through my expression. Yes, I guess. Like, yes, it was, you didn't teach me Melanie Reiki. You taught me how to open into Tanya Reiki, if that makes sense. Like, and I just really appreciated that. I thought it was so cool too. You were even inquisitive. Like, how did you experience this? Which I think makes it your, because energetic experience can be so abstract and subtle sometimes. I think that you asking those probing questions was so helpful to actually like solidify my own experience so I could like claim it and, you know, integrate it. And
yeah,
I felt
you experienced energy different than me. And so that was, I was so curious about that.
Right. Like, but even knowing that, like even being able to have a conversation in a circle about like how, you know, cause I,
you weren't the only one experiencing it that way.
Yeah. Cause what's yours? Yours is heat. Like you do temperature.
Heat and cold. And I think I do feel the denseness or lightness like you, but it's the more dominant heat or cold. And I'd never acknowledged it before, the dense and light. And then you were like, well, I feel it this way. And I was like, tell me more.
Yeah. And it's like, but I feel a buzzing.
Yeah.
And, or like a magnetic type force.
Like a very physical experience for you.
Yeah. Anyways, I just, I loved learning from you. I think what I also liked about it, as someone who like is prideful, like it's not, I'm not proud of it. It's just like, I am who I am. I just felt, another thing I felt was, like you didn't, impress upon me your teacherness. Like you weren't my guru. You weren't my like, all right, follow me, little grasshopper. And like, there was no patronizing. There was no condescension. Quiet. It just felt, I felt respected as your student, which I think is important in a student teacher relationship, especially when we're adults teaching adults. It's like,
you taught me that. So you should, actually taught me that. So that's like how I decided to approach every teaching. Is because of you saying that in our first aerial teacher training. It was my first, not your first by a long shot, but you had said, okay, we're teaching adults, so let's be open to that. They may have something to share too. And like it's an adult conversation. And that just forever changed the way that I look at teaching.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I feel like this is really good. This has been nice. Yeah. Like I'm getting ego boosts from this like conversation, which wasn't my intention. So
but, yeah, but previously it had been for me, like teaching had not been an inquisitive experience as a student. Like it was just like essentially like quiet speaking, you know?
Right. And, like old school.
And then if you have questions, figure it out. Right. Mm-hmm. And I may not have the answer for everything, but I am so curious about like why you're asking the question and all of that. It's, I learned so much from, and even online. So I have the online programs. They're emailing me all the time and I love their experiences and sharing that. I really feel connected to them over it, so that we're still having that same sort of experience, but a little more, I think, refined, because they do have to sit in it and then be like, okay, I'm deciding to email, and then refining their words to email. And it's very, I feel like, it's just pure by the time the question comes through. It's not just like spinning off a question. Sometimes you'll get a student that is just really uncomfortable with not asking questions because they feel like they look dumb or something. There's a belief system there.
Yeah.
But it causes that student to really go, what is it I'm asking?
Mm-hmm. Like, so you're still offering, so we've taken everything off the table except Reiki. And do you feel like that's like Reiki was maybe your origin space? And so it's something that's just always going to be in alignment with you, and that's why it feels good to keep offering that one.
And I don't think it's by chance that it was set up online. Like at the time I had resistance to it and I never promote it. Like that's part of the there and back one, but it's never been like I do online Reiki trainings, you know, that's like a very kind of like in behind the scenes, you have to look. And I just know that it was done this way for the reason, because it is such a, like, you know, when the gymnasts are running and then they hit that little board and they're able to flip over the bar. I feel like Reiki's that little board. Yeah. The spring, like, and just like, it's not a big bounce, but it's enough with your effort to get into the next level. And I think it's foundational. And then people will say, well, everyone has Reiki. Everyone should.
Yeah.
We all really should. And we should practice being more present with energy on the daily. And you would find people suffering less physically, emotionally, mentally. We are so incredibly disconnected from everything, including our own bodies. To have to have a meditation, and I'm saying this as a Nidra teacher, but to have a meditation to take you to literally cause you to think about your body, to be in your body. That's how disconnected we are. We just have no awareness of our bodies at all. We have ego expectations and aspirations for it, but there's very, very few moments that we're really connected to what it is we're feeling.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is wild. And I do it, you know.
Yeah, like, of course.
On my worst days are when I am online, like on my phone, on social media. And do I learn? No. I'm trying though. But I can definitely tell when I'm numbing out. Or there's something coming up for me, because I will choose to go to that. And then it's like, okay, well, then I'm going to take myself and do some energy work. But I think it's causing a lot more trouble than it's worth. But still right here.
That's a whole separate conversation I could get into passionately about social media. I want to tell you this funny story about
and if you're going to be online, be doing a Reiki program.
Right? Yeah, exactly. If you're going to be online, do something for the betterment of yourself as opposed to the numbness. I've always had trouble and like knock wood, I think we're emerging from that era a little bit anyways, but we've really struggled with my oldest and getting him to sleep. And I'm talking hours, like three hours. This kid just really doesn't want to go to bed.
He's so inquisitive. I can definitely see that. Like he's very intellectual.
And then he doesn't want to wake up in the morning. And I'm like, why? Why are you the way that you are? Anyways. And then I tell him in the morning, like a typical mother, I'm like, can you remember this feeling when you don't want to go to bed? See how comfy bed is. Like, anyways. So this was when he was like little, like maybe two and a half, like in that window somewhere. And I was not touching him, but I was like, I was going to Reiki him, going like, maybe this would help him rest to go to sleep. And he was turned away from me, so he couldn't see me. I was not touching him.
Yeah.
And he flung his arm back and went, Mom, stop it.
Yeah. You were making him tired.
He didn't. I was manipulating his energy in a way that he did not consent to, and he was like, stop. And I was like, oh, okay. But I also felt validated. I was like, okay, you don't like it, that's fine, but it does something, because this kid could not see me and I wasn't not physically touching his body, so.
And still young enough to not question it. Mom, don't. Like he's so young where you give him 2 more years or 3 more years, he would look behind him first.
Right.
And then go, huh, I wonder what that was. You know, he's still in that, I believe at that time he's in theta waves. Mm-hmm. And so he's still fully immersed in energy. Mm-hmm. He believes in energy. He sees energy. Like there's no separation yet.
Yeah.
And so to him, it was physical touch, right? Like he knew it was you. And you were balancing his energies, which there must be some program or something he's fighting sleep. I can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
And that might be your program because you're thinking, I can't go to sleep because of you. But he's older, he's operating the program, I can't go to sleep, but he doesn't know why. And then you went in and balanced his energies, and immediately it caused him to relax and get tired. It's the same as like sound bowl. Jace's teacher had a sound bowl for math. Mm-hmm. And when the students came in, he would play like a note on the sound bowl. And Jace is like, I hate it. It makes me so tired. And I was like, yes, and open to learn because you're relaxed, but it's fighting their ego program, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So funny. I wonder too, like, I don't know, I'm big about consent, and I'm like, well, you know, it's like, is it with Cashin too, he's very independent and he's very autonomous. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in that
he said no.
The message that I got in that was like, I did not agree to this. It wasn't my idea.
Yeah.
And
still know
I,
it was you.
Yeah. Like, I want my autonomy. You cannot influence me in such a way like that. We did not have a conversation about this kind of a thing. And so that's what
and
was,
his highest self probably was rejecting it at the same time. Like,
I'm sure. Yeah. It did nothing. I'm sure we were still up for another hour and a half.
Yeah. Like,
but I still thought it was cool. Yeah. Just to even, I was like, how did you even know I was doing that? So yeah, that it was kind neat. Of Reiki
you could
validation.
Almost make a game with that, right? Like,
100%.
Am I or aren't I? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it working? Am I doing it? Am I? Yeah. And then my other kid is like the exact opposite. I Reiki'd him. And he just
he's
goes,
like, give me more. Thunk.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He just falls asleep and he's like,
yeah, he doesn't
hell
have
yeah.
resistance to sleep. I wonder what that program is. Cause like everything we are all our thoughts have like a hormonal physiological response in the body that's constantly flooding them when they're in our tummies. So whatever we're doing, we're already programming them. So they can come into the world with these very unconscious programs, and only when we do this kind of work and pull it up together do we see, oh god, like this actually isn't true, like this this no longer applies, this doesn't belong here. But most of us do not see. Everyone else can see, granted, but not us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I often will tell people in teachings, across like all the teachings that I teach, is that what is conscious to us is our front side of our body, mm-hmm. and our unconscious and subconscious is our backside. Mm-hmm. And that's all of our repeat programming. That's like, that's our robotic self. And when we are self-sabotaging, or let's say like I'm the person in the group that all I really want is to fit in, but I keep freaking gossiping. Mm-hmm. And then I get kicked out of the group because I'm the cause, right?
Yeah.
Like that's it. That's an underlying program that everyone else can see. And we can't see until after the program is complete. And then we go, God, I've done it again, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm doing that. But there's that underlying desire to be accepted. And mm-hmm. if I tell you this, it will put them out and bring me in. But
right.
I still am not learning the lesson, right?
Yeah.
It's like the truth of the program is, it's rejecting me, mm-hmm. but I coded that program under the agreement that it would be acceptance. So I can't see it. It mm-hmm. takes a long time and sometimes a whole lifetime when people won't change it.
That's like similar to the inferiority, superiority, like it's a different version, I guess.
Yes. Yeah.
Like someone has to be better and someone has to be worse. And then you're climbing that ladder of mm-hmm. and you know trying to position higher,
yeah,
you know, each and so time
and at the very foundation, like the root of that is that you learned that love isn't safe, right? Mm-hmm. So at the very root of that, you learned that connection is not safe, that you have to some way earn your way in mm-hmm. or win your way in, and all you desire is to really just connect with someone and be seen and accepted. Mm-hmm. But you're causing your own pain over and over and over again.
Yeah. So interesting.
And so
should we leave off on that? It's that nice, bright high note.
Yeah. as always, leaving you with something to think about and smile for the rest of your day.
Well, your Reiki program, it's available online. Is this like kind of like rolling? Like you can just kind of...
It is. And it was previously $197 to do the online training. You get certified. You get to talk to me. Like all of it is... as much conversation as you want within reason. Of course, I'm not going to teach you everything that I've already taught inside, but if you have valid and shared experiences you want to do, absolutely here for it. Mm-hmm. I just recently, because I'm going to take off in-person trainings, I decided to discount that. So now they're $97 for the level one and level two, and you can do them at any time. You can start and finish at any time.
Oh my gosh, that's like so valuable. And so if anyone's thinking about it, honestly, just for the fact of like, if you just to put yourself to sleep at night, it's that would more than pay for itself, honestly. Right. That's something I always default to is if I'm really struggling to settle at night and specifically around like anxiety, just being able to like Reiki myself to sleep has just been so valuable.
It is. Do you? So I have a question. Do you start at the same spot every time?
Yeah, usually.
Okay. Because I noticed that I'm switching. I used to always start at the root and work my way up, but now I'm starting at the crown and working my way down.
Oh, interesting. The other thing I've done the last little while, because if I'm really struggling to sleep, I want to sleep in a way that's comfy to me, which is not usually laying on my back like a corpse and kind of like moving my hands. So I have also surrendered into this like visualization of I have this like woman figure. Woman is a strong word. I don't know what she is. She is not of this earth.
Energy pattern.
She's a something. And so I actually like surrender to her to do the Reiki, but that, so my brain goes into the, like, I'm going to self Reiki. That's the intention. But then I create the visualization and I essentially like place my body in its current position. Cause that's usually the easiest way. But again, my hands are not easily like just the way I sleep, my arms are kind of in a funny position. So it's not easy for me to place hands on myself. And then I like let her place hands and do the
Such
Reiki.
A cool visual.
Yeah. But it does help. And then she does not follow the pattern. Like she does, like, I just go, you do whatever, but
she's
I just want to go
healer.
To sleep. Yeah. And she usually does a little bit more like what you used to. I don't know if you still do this, but like she kind of works on two points at once sort of a thing. So she'll like work on my head and my chest or like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I usually work in reciprocals. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll leave it at that for today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Mystics and Broomsticks podcast. We always love having you here. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us mysticsandbroomsticks@gmail.com or we're really quick on Instagram. You can reach Melanie at @TheMelanieDawn. You can message me at @TanyaRyanXO. And then, we're a little slower on IG for Mystics and Broomsticks, but you can go at Mystics and Broomsticks on Instagram if you want to catch us that way. Peace in, peace out.